We're looking at strength through service, strength through service. How do we become stronger as individuals and as a community through serving one another? And I want to start by introducing my friend Tom. He's in the blue shirt there on the right. His wife Sharon here making the scrambled eggs. So Tom and Sharon opened their home up to us when we visited Chicago. They put up Sue, myself, and my son Tom. And they gave us a great week of hospitality. Wonderful couple, wonderful generosity, very generous. In fact, Sue was admiring one of Sharon's copper-bottomed frying pans. And Sharon said, oh, just take it home with you, and just gave it to her to put in the suitcase. I don't know what the x-ray machine made of frying pan going through. But I thought about admiring Tom's car and seeing what effect that would have, but wouldn't have been able to get in the suitcase. But just wonderful people with a wonderful spirit and a wonderful sense of freedom in serving God. now, this picture is their Saturday morning breakfast that they do once a month at a homeless shelter. And 12 years ago, Tom was in a job where he just didn't feel his spiritual gifts were being used. He felt he was earning money, it was a reasonable job, but it wasn't stretching him spiritually. He didn't feel that he was actually serving God in that particular place at that time. So he basically just started praying and thinking, well, what can I do to serve God, to use my spiritual gifts for the glory of God, for the benefit of others, and indeed for the building of church. And with his Connect group, they started doing once a month breakfasts at a homeless shelter in Chicago. And every month they do their breakfast. Their breakfast is apparently the best breakfast of the month. There's always more people turning up because they don't just do bacon butties. If I can have the next slide. They do pancakes with blueberries and ice cream. They do amazing sandwiches. They do scrambled eggs. And it was just an incredible breakfast that they serve to these people who, and in America, food poverty is something that's different to over here. There were students who were there on that morning because they couldn't afford a breakfast. There were a couple of families. And it was wonderful seeing. I had the privilege of going to the breakfast. They got me serving the ham. They had a big joint of ham as well. And there was a real joy. And Tom has a joy and a freedom that comes from his service. He's flourishing. And I know that many of us here are using our gifts in that sort of way. We've discovered how to use our gifts. We've discovered we know what our spiritual gifts are, and we've discovered places to use them. And you know, there are some things we do where we just serve. I am yet to find the person who has the spiritual gift of stacking chairs. And yet there are times when chairs need stacking and we just get stuck in. And actually, well, someone said to me once, you know, if you want to spot future leaders, watch who's stacking the chairs. Watch who's clearing up in the kitchen. Because sometimes we just do things, not because we have a spiritual gift for them, but because they need doing and we get stuck in and we do them. But when we serve, we discover God's strength. And I truly believe when we're serving in God's strength and when we're using our gifts and when we're serving others, we flourish. You see, flourishing, we talk about flourishing a lot if you're visiting. Flourish is a word we believe that God really impressed upon us, and we talk about it a lot. Flourishing is not having a big house. It's not having a big car. It's not sort of the American dream of a good salary, lots of holidays. That's not flourishing. Flourishing in the Ezekiel 47 image is of a tree by a river that is fruitful and its leaves are bringing healing. I believe we flourish when we are fruitful and we are bringing healing to others and to our world. That's when we flourish. And as has been mentioned already, Judith mentioned, there are loads of people involved in serving in different ways in our community. BSM, CAP, street pastors. This morning we prayed for TLG coaches who are going into school mentoring in Blake. We've got foundation governors. And from this last weekend, a couple of things I just want to share with you that have made me so pleased to be part of this church. So Friday night, Ben was up for XLP training to be a mentor. So he called me out of youth work retirement. He said, Simon, many years ago, you were a youth worker. Can you still cut it for an evening? I said, I'll try, Ben, I'll try. So I came out on Friday night, an amazing youth team working on Friday Chill. Over 30 young people there playing football, table tennis, having a great evening, making a huge amount of noise. You start to think, maybe I am too old. But it was a great evening, and it was great to see the team volunteering their Friday night to support those young people. And then yesterday, I had the privilege of being invited to a lunch in the church centre here. And that lunch was being organised by someone in our morning service, some of you will know, called Julia Morgan. And Julia has been involved in helping Syrian refugee families to settle in Witney. She's basically created a bit of a network of befrienders and with other people in our church and other churches and indeed not churches as well, they've found a network of people who could help teach them English because they arrived with no English. And these were families who've been, over the last couple of years, moved from Syria and settled in Witney. And so there's now six families. There were six families there. I think it was six, it might have been seven, but there were 36 people with children. And they wanted to thank all the people who'd helped them. So they put on this incredible spread. Everything tonight is about food. This incredible spread of Syrian food that they put on, and huge hospitality and generosity to say thank you. And it was a wonderful event to be part of because it was about healing. You know, some of them had gone through some really horrible situations. I talked to a couple of them about some of the things that they'd fled from. And it was wonderful to just see this as part of healing. And wonderful to see Julia using her gifts to serve others, to bring healing in that context. So, and Julia was, and Sue and Char, she was flourishing. She was flourishing as she served them. So why do we serve? Why do we serve? Well, first of all, we serve because we worship a servant king. You know, people used to wear, I don't know if they still do, but WWJD, what would Jesus do? What Jesus would do is serve. He would serve. It's what Jesus did. If you want to become more like Jesus, people say, oh, I want to become more like Jesus. Well, serve. Serve using your gifts. Serve out of your comfort zone. Serve at times when you don't want to, and you will become more like Jesus. If I could have the next slide. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Philippians 2. I come back to it regularly. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus did not have to come into our world and serve, and yet he came as a servant. He had all power, all authority, and yet he came as a servant. He humbled himself. So the first reason we should serve is we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The same mindset as Jesus. So some more reasons to serve. Another passage I'm going to go through very briefly. But 1 Peter 4. The end of all things is near. This is the next. Oh yeah, the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love each other deeply. Service is an outworking of our love for each other, a love for our community, a love for our world. Love each other deeply. Love covers over sins, a multitude of sins. And the thing about that is that, you know, when someone irritates you in the Christian context, in the church family, it's saying, you know, love covers over that. When we love one another, we can work through that. But love helps us to serve as well. If you struggle to serve, maybe you need to ask God to help you to love again. To love people outside. To love the lost, the least, the broken. To soften your heart again. Because the truth is, our hearts get hardened. They get hardened by the knocks of life. They get hardened by what goes on in our situations and our work situations. And we become cynical and they get hardened. And we need to say to God, God, keep my heart soft so that I would love. Because if we can't love, we can't serve. So ask God to give you a passion to seek the lost, to bring healing to our world. And then it says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Yeah, this was written in a Middle Eastern context. Peter wrote this. He was in the Holy Lands. When I went to Lebanon, I went to Tyre and Sidon. We drove down the coast. And you read about Tyre and Sidon. They're places that that the first apostles visited. We were very much in the Holy Lands. We were in that place where the first Christians walked. And the hospitality was amazing. They understood hospitality. They had nothing, and yet they shared what they had. You know, we have so much to learn from others and from others around the world. You know, this thing of offer hospitality without grumbling. You know, to be people who will serve one another with hospitality. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. God, I believe, has given each of us gifts. Each of us have gifts. Are you stewarding those gifts faithfully? Are you stewarding the gifts that God has given you? And if you're not sure what your gifts are, then talk to someone. Work it through with someone who knows you or with a Connect group leader, or come and see me or others. But work through, what are your gifts? How do you steward your gifts? I think of my friend Tom in Chicago, how he stewarded his gift. He knew that his gifts were not being used in his work context. So he was going to find a context where his spiritual gifts were being used. And as a result, he came alive. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We serve so that in all things God is praised. We don't serve so that we're praised. We serve so that God is praised. We serve because, and as we serve, we discover not only his grace, those grace gifts that he gives us, but we discover his strength. Do so with the strength God provides. There's almost like a cycle or a circle here. As you serve God using your gifts, you discover more of his strength to use your gifts more. We serve him so he's praised. We serve as we discover the strength that he provides. That's how you become strengthened through service. You see, God doesn't want us to burn out or blow up or break down. He doesn't want us to overdo it. He provides strength as we serve. He wants us to know why we're doing what we're doing. Sometimes we burn out because we've got into it for the wrong reasons, or we've lost sight of why we're doing what we're doing. He wants us to have a healthy rhythm. He wants to provide his strength that we might discover more of his goodness and his grace as we serve his purposes. The thing about becoming a servant of is it's hugely countercultural. It's hugely countercultural. If you say to anyone in our culture, what do you want to be? If you said to school, you know, you go to the careers advice, what do you want to be when you leave school? Well, no one's going to say, a servant. It's not, you know, it's not even on the list. No, it's not part of our culture to serve. It's seen as being a thing that we almost don't do. But what we discover is, as we follow Jesus' example, serving in God's strength for his praise, then we experience the kingdom of God coming on earth as in heaven. Because God's kingdom is countercultural. So when you serve, you discover something of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. I'm sure if you ask Julia, who organized that Syrian meal, how she felt on Friday night, she'd have said anxious. If you asked her how she felt last night after doing the meal, she'd have said tired. But if you asked her, but were you fruitful? Did you bring healing She'd be far too modest to say yes, but I was there and I saw it and she was. And that's what happens when we step into the gifts that God has given us and the things that he calls us to. I want to finish by just showing you some pictures from Lebanon, because I learned a lot from Lebanon. I learned a lot from a church that understood service. This is a church that, this is a church's warehouse, where they've created a warehouse of food parcels for people who for refugees. And so in that big white bag is a month's worth of food or of essentials. If you next picture, you see here a queue waiting to go to receive their food parcels. That was a group of church leaders from the UK at the foreground there. And the next picture, that's a church leader walking towards the road. We would take the parcels to the road. And I love this picture of a UK church leader serving a Syrian Muslim lady in taking her food to the road. And the next picture.
Yay!
Just to prove I did it as well. Well, as soon as they'd taken the picture, I put it down. And they were heavy. And we did about an hour's worth, and it was exhausting, but it was wonderful because we were part of serving people who had nothing, and we were doing it through God's strength, and we were discovering more on the way. And I met these churches, and the churches had very little themselves, but they were serving the refugees. Next picture, this is teaching and education of refugee children. Next picture, this was one of the refugee camps we visited. Glorified tents that they're living in and have been for a couple of years. Next picture, another tent we visited again. They showed a wonderful, warm welcome when we went into their homes. Next picture. Now, this is a church. It's an amazing church. It's just it started by the vicar, the pastor, got together. He's just started working with a group of young people who are on the streets, and he actually started the church in a flat opposite, and then they got the land. They built the church. Next picture. This is a view from the top of the church, and the mountains there are Syria. So you see how close they were to Syria. Next picture. And this is a school that the church is now running for refugees. They're running two schools like this, with the UN's help as well. And the amazing thing about this, I'm going to tell you about two people very quickly. The head teacher, Lady Alia, she was Lebanese, and what probably you didn't know, I didn't know you, some of you might know, you might be experts on this area, but between 1976 and 2005, Lebanon was occupied by Syria. Syria were the occupying force in that country. So the Lebanese, many of them were oppressed by Syrians. She told us, because she drove us around a car, her father, it was either her father or grandfather, had a factory and was a wealthy Lebanese man. The Syrians came and took the factory, and as a result, the family experienced some hardship. When the crisis happened, the Syrians are now coming out of Syria wanting help from the Lebanese. And you can imagine some of the tensions in Lebanon as a result. You've got a couple of million Syrians who'd previously been occupiers now coming and looking for help. Her pastor came to her, knowing she had experience in education, and said to her, "I want you to be the head teacher of these two schools." She said, "No." She said, "I can't." She said, "I don't like Syrians. I really can't do it. You don't know what they did to my family. I don't like Syrians. I don't want to help them." The pastor said, "You're a Christian. You must forgive." She said, "Okay. I just wish I had." You know, and she did. So she forgave. I think it probably was a bit longer than that. But she forgave. And so she started being head teacher of a school for Syrian children. She drove us to these are some of the classrooms. They also have, they have clothes. They offer a sort of a charity shop. They have washing machines. So people, if you live in a tent, you don't have a washing machine. So they provide those to the refugees as well. And this was wonderful. They have this project. And so Alia took us to meet some women who were making little things that they could sell. And they had this project. They were teaching these women how to use sewing machines. And they were doing a course with them, and if they completed the course, they gave them one of those white sewing machines at the end of their course. Again, this is some of the things they prepared. And the idea being they could raise a bit of money for their family from the things that they then sold with their sewing machine. Next picture. And this is Hadia. and her husband. And Hajia's background was she was a Kurdish Muslim, and she'd become a Christian 2 years previously. And her husband, actually, both of these names are not their real names. Not that I think people do listen to my sermons online that much, but just so. So she'd become a Christian. She spoke through Alia. Alia took us to her house. She was, again, delighted that we would go and visit. And when I say house, it was two rooms, converted shed. She had a one ring burner. And she was just so pleased that we would come. She offered us tea, and we had tea and met her husband, who's still a Muslim. She said she was sort of speaking in code through the interpreter about how she's sharing about Jesus with him. And in the car afterwards, she said she's reading the Bible with him and this sort of thing. She radiated Jesus. She radiated Jesus. She had become a Christian through, actually, the sewing course. She'd become a Christian. She now teaches. They pay her to teach on the sewing course. They also pay her to do some cleaning of one of the schools. And when we were sitting in this little room, I saw her sewing machine in the corner. So I said, do you use your sewing machine? She said, yeah, I love my sewing machine. She said, I use it, I make things, I repair things, I help the ladies around here, I do things for them. She said, but I don't charge them. God has blessed me, and I want to bless them. And I'm there thinking, oh my goodness, you have nothing. You're living in two rooms with a one ring burner. You have nothing. You could really use a bit of extra money. But you understand about generosity, about hospitality, about service, in a way that I'm only learning. It was a very powerful moment in the whole time, and one that I keep trying to remember so that I don't forget, because it's so easy to forget. They understand something about the strength that comes through serving. Now, we've talked about serving tonight, and as Laura said, there's some clipboards somewhere. Where are they? I don't want you to sign up to serve for any wrong reason. I don't want you to sign up because you feel you ought to, or you feel a bit guilty. That's a wrong reason. I only want you to sign up to serve because you sense that God is asking you to use your gifts, to step out, to try some things you've not tried before, to discover more of what he's got for you so that you might discover more of his strength in service. I only want you to do it for the right reasons, not because we need people to serve. We do need people to serve, but not for that reason. Because you want to. Because you want to discover more of this strength through service that I believe comes when we step into our giftings. And there are so many wonderful opportunities. Some have been mentioned tonight. There are others. You know the great thing about Julia and what happened there? I'm just going to tell this final story. She just knew she had some time. So she came to see me. And I had a list of things, because she's very capable, that I thought Julia could do. It was a list. It was about seven things. I can't remember what they all are now. But I had this list of things. She was really embarrassed, because I didn't say this morning. I went through the list, and she said, no, I'm not sure. I said, let's keep praying. The next week, I was phoned up by Refugee Action, asking if we could help with these refugees. And I rang Julia up and said, Julia, I think I might have the challenge for you. Do you want to step into it? And she said, yeah, and she loves it. She loves it, and she's been amazing. And God has used her and is using her. She's fruitful. She's bringing healing. There's opportunities like the GLS in November. If you've got daytime availability, we'd love to have you help us on that 2 days where we invest in other churches and other church leaders. But let's keep using our gifts to serve so that we would be fruitful, so that we would bring healing in our church, in our community, and wider, so that we would see God's kingdom come in Whitney and help this community to flourish. I'm just going to pray, and then we're just going to have a time to think and reflect about what God is saying to each of us. Father, I thank you for what I learned from people who had nothing, and yet who I saw were serving through the strength that you give, who are giving beyond themselves in many ways. And Father, thank you that when we truly step out into our gifts, when we truly step out into the things that you're asking us to step into, we discover more of your strength in our lives. And Father, I pray, I thank you for people here who are already serving and who already know that and experience that. I pray you would increase the strength that you have for them. And I pray for each of us that you would help us to find our places where we can serve, where we can become alive, where we can flourish, where we can help others through using our gifts and abilities. So speak to us, Lord. Remind us of maybe some of those dormant gifts that we've not been using. Help us to bring you glory, to help others in healing, to see fruit in this place. Amen.